Good to see those that are present here this morning. Those that have mentioned that we're not able to be here, we hope and pray that on next Lord's Day, that they will return to the fold. I have a lesson this morning I'd just like to share with us. This is a passage of scripture that teaches all mankind about the divine nature of Christ in this book of Colossians. I just want to read a few passages of scripture to bring us up to date in this subject this morning. My subject this morning is the person and work of Christ. And notice what Colossians teach here. In verse 15 says that who is the image, speaking of Christ. So who's the image of the invisible God? And this is a God that we cannot see. But Christ, the Bible teaches, is the image of the invisible God. So the firstborn of every creature, the King James gives us. In other translation, it is mentioned as creation. The firstborn of every creation. Notice what it teaches in verse 16. It says, for by him were all things created, and that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or power. All things were created by him and for him. And the Bible teaches in verse 17 says, and he is the head of the body, the church. And if we ever wanted to be saved, the only thing that we need to do is find the body in the church. And we'll find where we are saved. Jesus tells us that he is the head of the body, which is the church. Now notice the Bible teach in verse 17 says that, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It says, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That in all things that Christ would be first. Just like this morning, we give Christ our first. We give him the first day of the week. That's why we come together upon the first day of the week, not the last day of the week. Because the Bible teaches us that Christ must have first. He is the preeminence, that he might have the preeminence. Notice in verse 19, it says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And that's what I just want us to underline this morning about all fullness. This is what Jesus Christ consists of. All the fullness. When we have Jesus Christ, we don't need anything else. He's the fullness of all. And the Bible says that, and having made peace in verse 20, through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The Bible teaches us that Jesus has all the fullness. But before that, we get into this lesson this morning, we count this as a blessing as well as an opportunity to always go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So at this time, let us humble ourselves once again while the one has been selected to lead us in prayer. As we look at these passages of scriptures, a very strong lesson is taught here concerning the nature of Christ It teaches that not only is Christ equal with God, that he is God. You know, the Jews consider that as blasphemy. And the Greeks, it was unthinkable. But we see in these passages of Scripture, as we read in verse 15, said, who, speaking of Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature or creation. It says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And just think about that. Now, the Bible teaches us that when we are baptized into Christ, we are given a gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have, is a gift. And I thank God for that gift. God gives us that gift when we come up out of the watery grave of baptism. The Apostle Paul and the other apostles were also given the power of the Holy Spirit. And we were not given the same type power that the apostles were given. But Jesus, the Bible teaches us, had the fullness of all. And that's what I would just like to do this morning, is just go through a few passages of scriptures, and we'll look at some of that fullness, and maybe in some of the scriptures I will expound upon those scriptures. But notice what the Bible teach in the book of St. John. St. John chapter 1, and we look at verse 1. In St. John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now we know that these passages of scriptures are talking about Jesus Christ. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and we know that he was talking about Jesus Christ, because in verse 14 he tells us that Jesus came in the likeness of flesh, human flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So we know that he's talking about a man when he says that in the beginning was the Word. He is speaking about Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with God. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was God in the flesh, reconciling us back to him. And so these are some things that we will see this morning concerning the fullness that Jesus had in this life. I want us to look at another passage of scripture. I want us to look at the book of Mark, and we just look at some of the fullness here. The book of Mark, chapter, I believe, 4, and we will look at verse 33. Mark chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 33. The Bible says, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them, and they were able to hear it. He said, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the Bible says, in the same day, in verse 35, when the even was come, And he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And so when they had sent away the multitude, he took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of the wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Now, this is what I want us to notice. And when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. Now, this is Jesus. He's in the back of the ship, asleep. The Bible says, on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Bible says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The Bible says, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And the Bible says in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said unto another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? That's the fullness that I'm talking about this morning that Jesus had. While he was in the ship, sleep, he was a man. But when they awakened him from his sleep, he was God. He spoke to the wind, peace, be still. And the Bible says the wind ceased to blow. That's the fullness that Jesus had. He had all fullness. At one time, he mentioned, in, I believe in Matthew 28 and verse 19, said all power had been given unto him, both in heaven and also in earth. I want to look at another passage of scriptures. I want to look at the book of Matthew, chapter 4. And we're just looking at some of the fullness that Jesus had. The book of Matthew, chapter 4. And I start with verse 1. The Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into a wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when they had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after it and hungered. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And the Bible says, then the devil taking him up into a holy city, and set him on the peninsula of a temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge according to thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And the Bible says, then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now we all know that this is a joke. Satan is offering Jesus all the kingdoms when Jesus is the one that made them. There's nothing that wasn't made that Jesus didn't make. And Satan is offering to him just to worship him. And so sometimes, you know, like Satan will try to get in our minds and tell us all different things. Sometimes he tried to convince us that we're not even saved, although we know that we've done everything that God say do. And when that happens, we need to sometimes as Christians speak to Satan too. Get behind me, Satan. When we know that we've done everything that God has commanded us to do. Let me go on, let me share another passage of scriptures. And we'll look at the book of St. John, chapter 18. And this is just the fullness that we're speaking of that Jesus had. St. John chapter 18. And we will start with verse 1. St. John 18 and verse 1. This is the betrayal of Jesus. The Bible says when Jesus had taken these words and he went forth with his disciple over the brook of Cedron, and when he was in a garden into the which he entered, where he was, the brook of Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. And the Bible says, Judas then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees cometh thither with lantern and torches and weapons. And therefore, knowing all things that they should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Now, Jesus already knew all the things that were coming upon him. But he asked the question, who do you seek? In verse 5, the Bible said, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And verse 6 says that, as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they all went backwards and fell to the ground. Now that's Jesus. With the fullness of all. The only thing that he said was, I am he. And they all fell to the ground. Now, I don't know about you. If I had been there and Jesus spoke and said, I am he, and fell to the ground, when I got up off of that ground, you wouldn't see me anymore. But this is the power that Jesus Christ had with the fullness of all, just his voice speaking. The Bible said they all fell to the ground. I want to look at another passage of Scripture. I want to look at the book of St. John, while we're in John, chapter 4. We want to look at the woman at the well. Shows about the fullness of Jesus. St. John chapter 4. The Bible says that in verse 1, said, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, the Bible says, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, so he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And when he must need to go through Samaria, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which he called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, he said, give me water to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So then said the, the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritan." And the Bible says that Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Notice this woman. "The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drink thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But so whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, this lady that was talking to Jesus, at the time she didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus knew everything about this lady. He knew all about her life. But you know what he did? He found something in common that he could talk to her about, and that was the water. This is a lesson that we as Christians can learn as we're dealing with people. Can you imagine meeting someone? You meet this person and you tell them that the church that they're going to is wrong. You tell them that the baptism that they were baptized in was wrong. You tell them that the preaching that they receive is wrong. And they say, "Well, you know what? I met a guy that told me all those things, a person, and I just can't wait to see him again." No. We have to learn to find something in common, develop a relationship with people that we might get the truth over to them. Just by telling a person everything is wrong, we lose people. We have to learn to develop that relationship. Jesus talked about the living water. And you know what? She ran into the city and she told the people in the city, "Come to meet this person. They told me all about my life." She wanted to meet Jesus again. Notice what happened. I want to look at verse 19. The Bible says, "The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And the Bible says, "The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Jesus. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Notice what Jesus says. "Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee, I am he." In other words, you're talking to him.
You're talking to the Messiah.
This is all the fullness that Jesus had while here upon this earth. I just want to go to another passage of scriptures, and we will come to the conclusion of the lesson. I want to go to the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Matthew 28 and verse 16. The Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, the Bible says they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus teaches that all power had been given unto him in heaven and in earth. And do you know who were sent out to teach the gospel? It was the apostles. Those men that were disciples of Jesus Christ were the ones that were sent out. It wasn't so much of conversion that they were teaching. They were teaching people how to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Not just trying to just win souls, but teaching those win souls how to be Christians and how to be a disciple. And they were taught by Jesus Christ. And so the apostles taught us through the scriptures. That's how we are taught. And we have the great commission as Christians is to go out and teach the gospel to those that we know. That is our great commission. That's the work of Christ, and this is our work. That we go out and tell people about the good news. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came into this world to die for us. The lesson is yours this morning, and hopefully something was said from this lesson that will just cause us just to think as we journey through this life about the fullness of Jesus Christ. Because a lot of Colossian Christians, they were trying to worship angels back in those days. And the Apostle Paul let them know that Jesus was the one that created and made the angels. He made all things. And without him, nothing was made. He is the very image of God that we cannot see. God manifested Jesus Christ to us through the gospel. And he shows us his work, his word. Through this world that we live in was created by his word. And Jesus Christ made the world. And this world that we see was created by Jesus. So we have everything, brothers and sisters and friends, when we have Christ. And the Bible says that he is the Savior of the body, which is his church. We come to Christ this morning by first the hearing of his word. After we hear the word, we must believe it. After we believe it, we must confess. After confession, we must repent. Believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized. This is the five steps of God's plan of salvation for all mankind. Wherever we are in this world, this is the only plan that has been given to mankind, for mankind to be saved. And we only saved when we are baptized into the body of Christ. Let us remember that he is the Savior of the body. And then once we are baptized into the body of Christ, we stumble and fall. We are to repent of those sins. We are to confess that we have sinned a sin that has shamed the body of Christ, and ask for the prayers of the righteous that we might be restored back into the fellowship. And while we stand this morning and sing the chosen song, if we are subject to the gospel in any manner, we may make the good confession.